counsel head or acting and the Secretary of State. So there's a wide array of neocons, essentially, and just bloodthirsty people who are, which is not to say that Hegseth isn't. It just means that Hegseth is that dumb and that useless. But here is Hegseth, and this is a thing, like, look, over the many, many years that I have been following this stuff, and particularly in the run-up to the Iraq War and in the wake of 9/11, Democrats always, generally genuflect to Republicans on national security. That has changed in part because we have a crop of Democratic lawmakers who are vets, came out of Iraq, Afghanistan, and run for office. And yet, there is definitely a feeling that, and certainly in terms of like progressives, there is just not much energy spent. And I'm guilty of this too, or I don't know if guilty is the right word, but things like military policy beyond our desire to have a significantly reduced defense budget. In the same way that Republicans don't really care, spend too much time thinking about education other than we want to get rid of it. You're not hearing, big education policies coming out of the Republican Party since essentially No Child Left Behind, which was just largely implemented as a way of putting corporate metrics on teaching, and it's since been completely rejected. But it's important to, and so there's a vacuum of Democrats and progressives who are making the argument of like, you're about to take us to war with, well, Pete Hegseth tells us right now, we don't know how many new leaders of our military. We have a guy who was literally 6 months ago barely able to do weekend Fox and Friends and show up sober to do his hits on Fox News. And now you're about to get us into a potential quagmire. Here is Pete Hegseth, who can't even explain why he fired or Trump fired. We don't even know how many generals. Go ahead.
A success of the Houthi operation. About how much money did it cost? How much money did you spend on missiles shooting at the Houthis?
Well, you'd have to compare that with what it cost.
I'm just asking how much did it cost?
Divert our shipping lanes around.
I'm told it's several hundred million dollars, maybe close to $1 billion. How
pause
many
it
US
for one
flag
second.
Commercial?
Can one of you guys Google what percentage of U.S. ships went through those shipping lanes that the Houthis were firing on? Something like, I think it's like 4% of U.S. ships traveled through those straits. Some infinitesimally small amount of our trade goes through there. But nevertheless, continue.
I'm told it's several hundred million dollars, maybe close to $1 billion. How many U.S.-flagged commercial ships have transited the Red Sea since your so-called successful operation?
Well, thankfully, unlike the previous administration.
The answer is zero.
Military vessels transit.
No, I didn't ask about military vessels. I
asked about
commercial
vessels. Well, which would be the precursor for.
How many commercial vessels? It's been several weeks. How many commercial vessels, U.S. flagged, have transited the Red
Sea? Well, would you, Mr. Congressman, put civilian ships
through the dam? The questions are not to me, Mr. Secretary, they're to you.
We have responsibly put military.
The answer is zero. I reclaim my time. How many generals and admirals have you fired?
I don't know the exact number, but.
You don't know the number. It's eight. Can you
can't count that high.
Well, you know, What secret decoder ring? And listen, I'm not a huge fan of Seth Moulton. I want to make that clear. But these are important questions to be asked. What secret, like, inside information that Seth Moulton has that Pete Hegseth doesn't in terms of who Pete Hegseth fired?
Look, when you're going up against Pete Hegseth, it's not fair when you can count to eight.
Go ahead.
Explain why any of them were fired? Like, just explain why was...
They all serve at the pleasure of the president, and I think...
No, I'm just asking you why.
General Kane is a great example.
I'm just asking you why.
That we need
you probably learned at Princeton what why means. Why did you fire him?
They serve at the pleasure of the president, and we
why
want better representation in
him?
Each and every of those...
You can't explain why you fired any of them?
Gentlemen's time's expired. Chair, and I
there you go. So he didn't know how many admirals and generals he fired. And he doesn't know why he fired them.
Representation.
Now, look, it's quite possible that there's always, like, you can fire eight of the top admirals and generals, and there's someone right below them that's like, I got this. No problem. Maybe you don't need, you know, that much experience in these things. I don't know. It seems like you'd make a bigger deal of it.
I'm clicking on some of the pictures of the... fired generals, and the first one was a black guy. So I'm
what? Oh no! It's all. It is all 100%. Black people or women or brown people.
Oh yeah, Lisa Franchetti. So black guy and a woman. So I think we might know the answer of why.
They're all woke
because representation.
They're woke. We know it. It's because they're woke. With all that wokeism out of the military now, it should be no problem.
C.Q. Brown, and he's a black guy?
What? Who did this?
We need better representation here.
So basically it comes down to, you know, Donald Trump is going to make this determination with his anti-woke crew. Here is Katie Britt. Have they let her out? Is she in... doing this interview with Jake Tapper from her kitchen? Oh, they didn't. They didn't make her stay in the kitchen for this. Is this the first time she's been out since the? Like, this is the first time I've seen her actually do national television since her attempt to
the
do
response.
A. Yep. Here she is explaining why she has no problems with any of this.
Not sure how well you could hear that, but he basically said, I don't care what Tulsi Gabbard said. I think the Iranians.
Oh,
are
pause it. We should just
say
it's not just Tulsi Gabbard. She's repeating what all, I think it's 18 intelligence agencies said to the extent that they had awareness of it or they've done any work on this, that the Iranians have not had a program to develop a nuclear weapon since 2003. I repeat, not since 2023, but since 2003. And Trump, when asked about this, says, I don't care what she says.
She's the one that the entire party voted to make the director of national intelligence, but who cares?
I'm sorry. Is her name Tulsi Gabbard or is it Miriam Adelson?
Not sure how well you could hear that, but he basically said, I don't care what Tulsi Gabbard said. I think the Iranians are very close to having a nuclear weapons program. So which is it?
Look, I trust President Trump. He is our commander in chief. He is the one that will make this decision. He both created and leads the America First policy, the America First movement. He understands about keeping us safe both here and abroad. I trust his instincts and certainly stand with the president.
So you think the intelligence community assessment that Tulsi Gabbard shared, Director of National Intelligence Gabbard shared, was inaccurate?
Well, Jake,
how do you reconcile
it? What I think is, under no circumstances should Iran be enriching uranium. I mean, we know that they are an untrustworthy adversary, if I may. And so making sure that they cannot continue to do that, that we have complete dismantlement of that program, has to be the goal. We cannot walk away from this and leave them with the ability to achieve and get a nuclear weapon. That's not only bad for Israel. It is bad for America, and it is bad for the globe.
And the response to that is they're not doing anything of what you just said they're doing. She did good, though. She did good.
That's what we'd like to see.
I think somebody's going to get some extra time outside the kitchen.
Thank you for trusting me.
She's going to be able to get outside the kitchen. America first. First.
I did create it. I am the creator of America First.
And she's, wait, she's the senator from Stepford. Is that correct?
A whole senator talking like that. And the Iraq.
I trust Trump. Meanwhile, the big story, of course, on the right is that Tucker Carlson questioned Ted Cruz on a bunch of different things. Did you guys play more of that interview yesterday?
Yeah.
Feels like Ted Cruz doesn't read the Bible carefully.
He both determines the policy of our entire nation of 300 million people based on it and also can't really cite it. So it's cool.
It's a vibes. It's a Bible more than a
Bible.
Yeah, exactly.
It's in there. Support Netanyahu.
Listen, come on. We know the gist of it.
I'm trying to be on the red side of God over here. I'm not actually trying to read the thing.
We know the gist of it. God said attack Iran, and so we do. I don't need to know how many people. Is it
Revelations where they say Iran can't get a nuke, I think?
5 million, 90 million. Here's Donald Trump responding to the argument between Tucker Carlson and Ted Cruz. And, of course, Trump is claims that... Well, he heard. Is that what it is? He heard from Tucker Carlson, and I got my apology.
Have you seen the Tucker Carlson and Senator Ted Cruz interview? It seems like this issue on whether or not the United States should strike is kind of dividing a lot of your supporters.
No, my supporters are for me. My supporters are America First. They make America great again. My supporters don't want to see Iran have a nuclear weapon. Tucker's a nice guy. He called and apologized the other day because he thought he said things that were a little bit too strong, and I appreciated that. And Ted Cruz is a nice guy. I mean, he's been with me for a long time. I'd say once the race was over, he's been with me.
He's been with me since I attacked his wife for not being as hot as mine.
Okay. Yes, no, he calls me on a regular basis and just reminds me on how much of a dog his wife is. He just calls up and says, President Trump, I just want you to know, my wife, still unattractive.
Mr. President, your wife is about 2 points higher than mine.
Oh,
let's work together for Israel, please.
Sometimes he just says, like, 5 points.
He's Ted, like, don't go overboard.
He says Melania's 11 and his wife is like a 4.
I'm like, okay.
And I appreciated that. And Ted Cruz is a nice guy. I mean, he's been with me for a long time. I'd say once the race was over, he's been with me ever since, right? But very simple. If they think that it's okay for Iran to have a nuclear weapon, then they should oppose me. But nobody thinks it's okay.
That to me sounds like a guy who thinks he's going to war. Mm-hmm. But keep him up there for a moment, because there was a report recently that Botox is not healthy for you. Something's going on. Donald Trump looks markedly different than he did literally like 2 weeks ago.
Do you remember Rip Taylor?
Rip Taylor, the
glitter throwing old.
That's what he looks like. Oh, yeah. Oh, that guy?
Yeah. He was on Jackass.
Yes. There's something going on with him. And he also just seems incredibly tired. And I would imagine, like, I guess I'm going to have to work more if we're going to get to do a whole war thing.
He's going to look so decrepit by the end of this term.
Oh,
like,
my God.
It's just a repeat of Biden. Like, he's, and you compare him to 2016, he had so much energy. And he is an old man now.
Yeah. 2026. I think in the run-up to 2026, I think in a year from now, maybe if I just keep trying to play more golf, it'll turn the clock back a little bit. The golf thing is like very reminiscent of Biden's bicycling. Yeah. Last vestige.
Oh, yeah, and he started falling over on the bike. It's like, oh.
It's going to be fascinating when Trump falls out of a golf cart. That's going to be like.
He's already doing the stumble up the stairs to the plane.
Is there more to this? No, I already did it. We're good. No, we're good. I already plugged that thing in and out. Ooh, medium literacy says that Ted Cruz impersonation is good, Matt. Teacher Dan, Trump's face might be assisted with some of that invisible tape strip stuff that they stick up eyebrows and pull back cheek skins with. Folks, the number 646-257-3920, 646-257-3920. Let's play number six. I just found this so sort of shocking. You'll recall, I can't remember which hospital it was. The Al-Shifa Hospital, was that the first one that they attacked? And I can't remember when this was. A year ago? More? When Israel first hit the first hospital that they bombed in Gaza, there was so much attempt by the Israelis and its apologists in this country to argue that there was a underground bunker. There were animated videos that were coming out. There were, you know, testimonies. Now, the fact is, the bunkers were definitely there because they were built by the Israelis when they last occupied Gaza underneath that hospital. There's no doubt. There's tunnels throughout Gaza. They sent people down there. These underground bunkers were not nearly as impressive, these huge command centers that they said. But there was, and then there was talk like, well, we didn't actually bomb a hospital. It was actually Hamas that accidentally bombed the hospital. And then at one point, it just became so obvious that Israel was on a genocidal campaign to ethnically cleanse Gaza. After they blew up all the universities, they started blowing up churches and mosques. And they just started to willy-nilly shell hospitals. That the idea of even them putting out some type of, like, alibi became, like, it wasn't even worth it for them because no one believed it. They didn't believe it. They knew people didn't believe it. They just had, and it was quite clear, no one was going to stop them from bombing hospitals or bombing anything, for that matter, in Gaza. They never even did the lip service to it anymore. And so, I imagine there are some people who respond to this and think it's outrageous. But I am just sort of shocked at the audacity that this is going to create sympathy, or that there's like the play this.
And move right next to it is a children's ward, a baby's ward, infants. They target it. They can
pause it for
give
a second.
This nonsense.
This is a Netanyahu complaining that the Iranians, after they were bombed, and we listen. Just because you kill scientists, incidentally, scientists are civilian. But just even if you kill scientists, it doesn't say you don't get away with like, oh, we don't really pay attention to the other 25 people who we killed, who lived in that building and his family. This hospital is near a military base. The military base was also hit. But here is Netanyahu trying to drum up outrage about a strike on a hospital.
babies ward, infants. They target it. They can give this nonsense that they're targeting military sites. What military sites? I know all the military sites in Israel. There isn't a military site here for miles and miles around. They're targeting civilians because they're a criminal regime. They're the arch terrorists of the world. They want to have nuclear terrorism, which will put the entire world under nuclear blackmail, and they would use these weapons. That's what the Ayatollah Khamenei says that he would do. He would use these weapons to wipe Israel off the map. Well, he's not going to. We're not going to let him. And we're in the process of achieving a tremendous victory. And our victory is aimed at those two goals. People ask me, are we targeting the downfall of the regime? That may be a result, but it's up to the Iranian people to rise for their freedom. Freedom is never cheap. It's never free. Freedom requires these subjugated people to rise up, and it's up to them.
Posse, it's almost like a parody. Freedom requires oppressed people to rise up. Like, you could take everything he's saying and it could be instructions to Palestinians living in the West Bank and Gaza. The talk of bombing hospitals and completely out of control that regime must be. And the idea that they're threatening nuclear weapons. I mean, they're talking about using tactical nukes on Iran. Like, all of this, it's literally like, it's just mind blowing. I mean, you know, hypocrisy, things like this. It's almost as if it's written by a playwright or a screenwriter. I'm going to have the Netanyahu character say these things. And it's going to be my way of, like, these are things that could be said by other people about it. It's that almost literary and absurd. Go ahead.
Create conditions that will help them do it. Our goal is twofold. Nuclear, ballistic missile. We're going to remove that. We are in the process of completing the removing this threat.
We don't need the part that is. We just needed the part that was for American consumption.
Where he repeats all the bromides that sort of game our system and get, you know, bipartisan support in Congress.
Exactly. I mean, it's just shocking. UNICEF is reporting right now that there is a, they call it a man-made drought. I mean, we know who's creating that drought. It's not like the Gazans, the Palestinians in Gaza are, they're using too much water for their crops right now. Only 40% of drinking water production facilities in Gaza are operational, according to UNICEF. There's a 50% rise in malnutrition cases among children aged 6 months to 5 years. Yesterday, at least 25 people were killed by Israeli fire while seeking aid. That's according to local health authorities. I mean, it's just insane. Absolutely insane. To hear him talk that way, it's crazy. I just can't imagine that there's anybody out there who is responding to this stuff, but there is. Ooh, Adrian Adams just released a presser saying don't rank Cuomo and rank the WFP slate. A little late.
Fascinating. Did you see what was going on last night with that?
Well, they were supposed to come out with that.
They had it prepared and there was dissension in her camp and it didn't come out, but now it's out, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know what's behind
that. She also had tweeted that we don't just abolish any agency we don't agree with. We need to reform ICE. And then deleted that tweet saying that's not what our campaign wanted to say. So it seems like there's a little bit of a split personality.
There's something going on there. There's something going on there.
But thank you for the endorsement.
Calling from a 917 area code. Who's this? Where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Simon. I'm calling from Saugerties, New York. How you doing?
Simon from Saugerties. What's on your mind, Simon?
So there's this thing that's been bothering me actually for a couple of years now. That's like a strategic, maybe oversight. And it's bothering me recently in regards to this like Rockland County thing about the lawsuit about the election and there was this, all this stuff about the seven swing states all going for Kamala and none of them being at a point where it would trigger a recount. I saw my internet sweeps the other day, a small article talking about how the election actually could have been rigged via this company, ProVNV, which is like one of two federally accredited testing labs, which approved sweeping last minute updates to the ES and S voting machines in the months leading up to the 2024 election without independent testing, public disclosure, or full certification review. They did this by making a bunch of changes that were apparently classified as trivial changes, so they didn't have to be reviewed. And these were, I think these were to like a component that hooks up to virtually all of the vote counting machines in every county in the U.S. So long story short, I could try to read this to you or whatever, but I don't want to waste too much time here. That company was bought by a partner company to Palantir. So
yeah.
And you can pretty much trace it right back to Musk's companies. And they were, Musk and Trump were both like saying things that like kind of were soft bragging that could easily be looked at rigging the election. And I understand that there's reticence to go down that road and look like, these like batshit
election deniers. Yeah.
Election deniers who, they did actually try to have a false slate of a false electoral slate.
Yeah.
It's not like,
yeah.
And the reason I'm like kind of rounding on this is I just think that like between that and the lack of like even real Democratic primaries in years, which we don't want to like look too hard at for the same reason, like I think that that's a big mistake because at the end of the day, if our votes aren't like actually being counted properly or there's some problem with the electoral mechanism, then like, first of all, we're looking at the other citizens in the country. Like there are a bunch of like racist assholes and maybe we're the overwhelming majority and that's like illusory the point being, it would be a completely different strategy that we would have to undertake. And if that's the case, then it would be if like we really just need to like turn public opinion through like normal, electoral stumping and stuff.
Yeah.
Like
okay.
And
right, think... So let me just summarize what you're saying is that you think that tactically speaking, we should be talking more about the stuff in Rockland County. I mean, I'll tell you, this is the thing is that I've been through this cycle. And it was, in Ohio in 2004. And John Kerry even said he thought that, supposedly he had said that he thought that there were irregularities or that there was something that fishy that went on there in 2004. I mean, I wonder why, if you have the ability to change the vote tally in Rockland County, and theoretically nationally, why you didn't do this in Wisconsin, if you're Elon Musk? I mean, you put all your chips on the table in Wisconsin. Now, this is not dispositive of anything, and I'm not, I will be the first to say that I have not spent really any significant time in what's going on in Rockland County. At a 20,000 foot view, this is what I'm looking at. And I will also say, just like in terms of like how I want to spend my time, we got stuff on the front burner right now. And I understand if we don't have free elections, then none of this ever matters. But my experience is that stuff will end up could potentially just suck a lot of energy and resources and time that we need to deploy right now to stop a war, stop a complete undermining of our healthcare system, stop the destruction of the administrative state. I am sympathetic to the argument that if we don't have a real vote, then, you know, all of that is for naught. But
right.
I need to see more evidence before I engage in that. You know what I mean?
I agree. I just think that absolutely. But I think we have to kind of commit a little bit to at least looking for that evidence because.
There are people doing that.
Happen if they proved it, though? I don't think that it would even alter anything. Like, I think if they could actually come up with evidence, and mathematically, the odds of there not being, of all seven swing states flipping, and there not being enough to, like under the threshold of a recount, are infinitesimally small, and that's been, talked about since the election.
I know, there was a 99% chance that Hillary Clinton was going to win. In 2016, Trump did it without Elon Musk, but then he lost in 2020, equally small margin. Do you know what I mean?
I get it historically. I mean, in this case, I think between Elon bragging about it and the Palantir partnered company, this whole angle that I'm seeing,
I'm happy.
Listen, there's nothing we could really do.
I'm happy there are people who are expending their time and their resources to it. Before it becomes something, you know, that is worth me or this show expending its time and resources, there has to be more there. Because there's other fires that are happening right now.
And I'll just say for my part, the result needs to be more anomalous. And look, the statistically improbability is one thing. I'm not surprised Kamala lost. I was freaking out about the way she ran that campaign the entire time. And maybe a more anomalous loss would surprise me more, but it didn't surprise me.
Appreciate the call.
Yeah, absolutely. I wanted to say one more thing. I saw a clip of a bounty hunter testifying at some town council or whatever. And he was saying, or not, he wasn't testifying. He was standing up to speak and he was saying that they were being, him and other bounty hunters were being offered $1,000 per undocumented immigrant that they brought in. So that there's a strong possibility that all these masked ICE dudes who aren't showing their badges.
Because
they're not even police officers.
Appreciate the call.
And I'll let you go.
Yeah, no, I first of all, they're bounty hunters. No ICE officials are police officers. They are bounty hunters. That's what they're doing. Many of them are paid by a government agency, but they are basically bounty hunters. And then it would not surprise me one iota if they were contracted. They're going to the IRS trying to get people. They're going to the FBI. They're trying to get people. At one point, they run out of people. The idea that they would be getting them from a Jay or whatever they're calling black. What was the mercenary force?
Blackwater.
Blackwater or Jay or whatever. I can't remember.
I never learned the new one. Yeah.
No, there's 14 different ones. It wouldn't surprise me whatsoever. This is encouraging, though. Apparently, we can watch the video at Dodger Stadium. ICE was turned back, denied permission to come into Dodger Stadium. And then they denied it that they were doing. I mean, this is fascinating. Here is the Now, what is this? Let's look at this clip.
This is Jeremy Lindenfeld. Protesters gathered at Gate E of Dodger Stadium where DHS agents. I mean, that's the thing is, like, ICE denied that they were there. I mean, who knows if it was ICE, DHS, CBP. None of these Gestapo agents identify themselves.
Yes.
Even to the Los Angeles Dodgers, which that means they're not telling you.
Good. And then, do we have the footage of them driving away? Do we have that footage? And then, apparently, like, at one point, I don't know if the stadium got wind of it, the Dodgers, the cops end up escorting them away. Do we have it? I thought I had put it in there. Maybe I hadn't put that one in. I got confused. But there's footage. Check on Twitter. And they denied it. They denied that they were even there. And here it is. I think, here we go. Try that. This is an overhead shot, and you can see. You can't? Here we go. And this gives you a good overhead view of it here. Of the protest. I don't know how ICE actually.
And new tonight.
Go ahead. This is a report from KHOU 11.
And new tonight, Immigration Customs and Enforcement, or ICE, is denying it sent agents to Dodger Stadium in Los Angeles today. The team posting on social media, they denied the agents' request to access the parking lot. Word of immigration officials showing up drew a few protesters. ICE responding to the Dodgers post on X saying, quote, false, we were never there. The Department of Homeland Security said Border Patrol vehicles were in the parking lot briefly, but it had nothing to do with the team.
Oh, I guess we didn't see them being driven out, but they were followed out by the cops. And they're just hanging out, I guess, theoretically, just like tailgating.
And you got to park your car somewhere.
You got to park your car somewhere. Maybe you want to go out to a game, hang out, chill out. Yeah, here they go. This is them driving away. This is no sound on this. But you can see the LAPD escorted them out of the parking lot. And it's too bad. These guys were just out there. They had their barbecues. They were just going to have a couple of dogs and just getting into the feel of the game. LA Dodgers want no part. Of these guys
I think reports were originally from citizens saying, why are the Dodgers letting these guys stage in their parking lot? And the Dodgers had to be like, well, we told them to get out of there.
California resistance. Sam, there's a video on Blue Sky from LA that ICE was only using road outside the stadium to transfer people from ICE arrests at Home Depot in Hollywood. Never planned on going into the parking lot. The Dodgers are using it for self-promotion. We're supposed to issue a statement in support of the community. Team has not done it yet. Dodgers supported Trump. I mean, regardless.
Good. Do that. If the Dodgers want to attack ICE for publicity in this moment, do it as cynically as you want to, please. Thank you.
Exactly. Oh, this is breaking news. A judge, supposedly, see if you can confirm this for me. Just another guy says a judge orders Mahmoud Khalil to be released on bail. It's conditioned. Yeah, Krusty Gnome, a couple of people. That's good news.
I mean, this was...
Zateo, breaking. Mahmoud Khalil to be released from ICE detention, says Majid.
About time, Jesus.
Yep.
Since March 8th.
Insane. Insane.
Child born while he's in there.
Legally branded. I'm a sexual assault law lawyer in the DMV area, and I've seen downward shift in how willing rape survivors are willing to report their rapes because they're so afraid of having to go to a police station or go to court with ICE raids going on. Rapists also threatening to call ICE on their victims if they report, regardless of victim status. As a result, these rapists are just roaming freely amongst us, endangering us all. Also, undocumented victims are ineligible for U visas if they don't report the crime to police. Calling from a 313 area code. Who's this? Where are you calling from?
Hey, is this me?
Yes, it is you.
Hey, I'm Nicholas. I'm from Detroit.
Nicholas from Detroit. What's on your mind?
When you guys were talking about Pete Hegseth earlier, I couldn't help but think of the opening scene of Fahrenheit 9/11, where Paul Wolfowitz is like licking that comb and combing his hair over.
Yep.
And in, you know, in your opinion, are Pete Hegseth and Tulsi Gabbard, are they some sort of mutation of this desire by neocons to be presentable but also vicious at the same time? Or is it just a coincidence and Pete Hegseth is a hatchet man who is willing to do anything for Trump, hence his appointment, but at the same time, they still have, you know, the deep state of military leaders come in situations like Iran right now?
Well, I think Hegseth is there because he's a yes man. That's it. Bottom line. Hegseth is there because he's a yes man. I imagine that Tulsi Gabbard is in there because...
They were anti-war for the campaign.
She provided some electoral sort of like, as a former Democrat, as a former Bernie person, she was part of the way of like, you know, Bannon's idea of like bringing in former Bernie people. And they just, you know, Trump was like, she seems good. She's like a TV 7, maybe. So we can put her in charge of something. I honestly think that's what's going on there. And then
compared to Nikki.
And look, I think I don't know that Trump is being influenced by, you know, a neocon establishment. They're certainly coming up now and providing sort of like undergirding or support. But I think this is really just a function of like Miriam Adelson and his calculation that these are my sort of benefactors. And I also suspect that there is a Saudi agenda of like, you know, if this happens, it's not such a bad thing. That I'm guessing, and I haven't seen much written about this, but like, where are the Saudis in this? The Donald Trump is going by, Donald Trump doesn't care. It's really just a question of like, who's paid him? How much allegiance? How, you know, what does he feel like he owes them? What's the good deal? And then also like, how is this going to impact his ability to make other deals? Or, you know, there is a transaction or there's a series of transactions with him and his people, Witkoff, you know, Kushner. The answer lies there. I don't know what it is, but that's where the answer lies.
And what do you think the over-under is on the right eventually, you know, labeling Donald Trump as a stooge of Israel? Because it's we live in this world where it's okay for the right to hate Jews, but it's not okay for them to hate Israel. And us on the left are, you know, expressing our discontent for Israel and our protection of Jews. and we're the bad guys for some reason. Do you ever see a world where, you know, Donald Trump's allegiance, or if the media starts to, you know, out him as a stooge of Israel, if that could bring these people into the light?
No. No, well, it ain't happening.
Gonna do that.
It ain't happening.
Yeah.
Appreciate the call.
Have a good one.
Buckets and buckets. Sam, why do you keep ignoring Iran's recently refining uranium to 60%? I literally mentioned this yesterday. On Wednesday when I was on.
Okay, but the last 2 days, why did you ignore it?
Well, I ignored it yesterday. I was talking about it, except for I wasn't on the air, and so you didn't hear it.
Convenient.
Kind of seems purposefully deceitful. I literally said that they had literally walked through, yes, like Wednesday. They have refined uranium to 60%. They need 90% for just to have weapons-grade uranium, never mind a delivery system. It is absolutely foolish of them not to start to head down this road as these attacks show. Absolutely foolish of them.
Even like the women who are more, let's say, liberated are calling. I've seen men on the streets on interviews were like, yeah, okay, I support the regime now going after nuclear weapons.
Of course. Of course. And after 4 years of Joe Biden refusing to make a deal, which I suspect was a function of his relationship or his people's relationship. I mean, you got McGurk on CNN. The guy, Brett McGurk, who, you know, in Joe Biden's mental haze, and I'm not in any way absolving Joe Biden of responsibility, but it's quite clear this was Brett McGurk's policy. And this guy's out there promoting an attack on Iran. And for years, we wondered why. Why didn't Biden make this deal quickly? And the whole, his response to October 7th and Israel's subsequent response made it quite clear that this was a policy agenda to not get back into this deal. So the idea that after 5 or 6 years, Iran starts to ramp up their enrichment program, of course they are. If they are not regretting not ramping it up to 90% and not actively having built a weapon, they're fools. They're fools. They're fools. I mean, that's just the bottom line. Calling from an 847 area code. Who's this? Where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Mike from Portland.
Mike from Portland. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I wanted to talk about ICE here and, you know, the absolute war zone and burning down of the entire city.
Okay. Tell us.
Yeah. So that was just a little bit of a joke because it's literally one block.
Oh, I see. I see what you're saying.
But that, unfortunately, that block has a school on it with a playground, apartments. And they're gassing up the place every single night now. People are out there protesting peacefully, and then when they want to bring a couple vehicles in or out, they come out, shove people to the ground. Some people were sharing a story that it's just really hard because, like, people are being detained there, being searched wrongfully, being violated. So people are coming back out after being held. These are protesters being held in a detainment facility for a couple hours, shackled. The cells are dirty, you know, like boogers and feces and stuff like that, according to some folks. And, obviously it's inhumane. They're keeping, you know, immigrants in there as well, or, you know, whoever they snatch up. So, I just want to give a shout out to the people showing up there, every single day, because They've had an encampment going for about 2 weeks now. It's been occupied for 2 weeks straight. And, yeah, several people just getting arrested and hundreds getting gassed every day. And the gas they're using, too, is illegal internationally. So they Portland banned the use of tear gas, but that's by the Portland Police Bureau, not, you know, by the feds. So the feds are using things called CS gas and atomsite. Mm-hmm. And these are gases that have cancer-causing agents, of course. And like I said, there's a school right there. When the wind picks up, you can feel it in your throat. It feels like a really tough allergy reaction, you know, maybe to like fresh cut grass or something. It's really brutal. So yeah, just kind of wanted to update. We're also trying to get the city to pull the permit for them to operate in that building. So we're putting a lot of pressure on city council right now through 5051, PDX, and a couple other organizations, Take Down Tesla, things like that. So
great.
Can I just say on those gases,
several protests coming up.
A lot of those gases sort of linger lower to the ground. So if you say want to walk your pet around it, or you have small children, they're going to take it to the face.
Appreciate the call. Yep. Appreciate the work you guys are doing.
Yep. Stay safe, y'all.
Thanks.
Bye.
Friends, Brosef, I inhaled CS gas in Hungary during the labor protest there in 2018. Awful. Very overwhelming stuff. Ramona Frankenstein, Sam, why have you been ignoring the fact that Iran has been very mean to deal leader Trump? 92 million people who want to murder our big, beautiful, wet president. Your silence is deafening. I think I smell burnt toast. Tim Gould, if there is regime change in Iran, do you think Trump will install Patrick Bet-David as the new Shah? Buckets and buckets again. 60% can be used as a dirty bomb. What other use does it have?
Okay, sure.
It can be used as a dirty bomb.
Deterrent.
As a deterrent. Like, why do we have nuclear? Why does Israel have nuclear weapons? Why haven't they signed the nuclear proliferation treaty? I mean,
yeah, we should all sign that and get rid of nukes.
At the heart of this is some like assessment that the Iranian regime is completely irrational, which is exactly what we were told about Saddam Hussein. It is all just a predicate to invade. And let's be clear what a dirty bomb is. It's not a nuclear explosion. It is some other type of bomb that you use for explosive. I don't know, C8, or you could use dynamite, whatever. And it just creates a radioactive fallout. It's like a weapon of mass destruction. Chemical weapons, essentially. Or the idea that Iran would use a dirty bomb unless they were facing like some type of imminent existential threat is absurd. Because the moment that dirty bomb goes off, they are all dead. As you can see, Israel didn't even need a predicate to bomb them. The United States is on the verge of bombing them without a predicate. It's a hypothetical, potential, possible future threat that might allow us to drop a tactical nuke on them. The idea if Iran was responsible for a dirty bomb. It would be complete suicide. So I don't know what to tell you. Like, why did they get into the first nuke deal with Obama? They were adhering to it. Why did they do this? If they're completely irrational and suicidal, as you want to make it out. I mean, it's just, it is.
It's the same thing that almost got the world destroyed during the Cuban Missile Crisis. Like, we encircle countries, and then the second they have any sort of capacity, we freak out and go into hysterics. And, you know, a huge part of our, you know, military leaders and stuff want to preemptively nuke and bunker buster these countries.
All right, one more call. Final call of the week. Calling from a 617 area code.
Hey, is this me?
Yes, it is you. You're calling
this
from
is,
Massachusetts.
Sam from Alston.
Sam from Alston. What is it? Bunratties? Is that still there? Bunratties? No.
I haven't heard of it.
Yeah, no. Why? Are you under the age of 75?
Unfortunately.
Unfortunately?
I think they filled the back bay since you lived there. It's a pretty nice neighborhood now.
What is this thing I hear about? There's bridges over the river?
There's a few of them, yeah.
All right.
You can get to Cambridge on foot.
Wow, that's fascinating. Okay, all right, go ahead.
Yes.
You don't have to take a boat.
I want to talk about Worcester.
All right.
I do some work there, and I have access to the utility records. And I don't know if you saw that manhole that exploded a few weeks ago.
No.
A few months ago at this point. Yeah, it got sent like 50 feet in the air. I don't know if they officially concluded what caused it, but I looked at the pipes in that intersection. And in one direction, it was from 1912.
Wow.
In the other direction, it was from 1913.
Wow.
All iron. There's no corrosion protection for iron, so it's they get like dime sized holes, and that just leak.
Oh, geez.
The oldest one I've seen in Worcester was from 1898.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, they're cutting a lot of the replacement funding to focus on electrical infrastructure, but it's not enough to actually divert houses off of natural gas. So it's a bit of a problem, a bit of a safety problem, especially all over the East Coast.
I bet. And Worcester is growing exponentially. I mean, they've added 60,000 people in, I want to say, 30 years.
Oh, yeah. Everyone that's getting priced out of Boston is moving there.
Yep. That's what they say in Worcester. They've been saying this for as long as I've been alive and probably more, that Boston can't grow to the east. But it really didn't start kicking in until, the early 2000s.
Yeah, that's the only place you can find the accent these days.
The accent?
Yeah, it's gone.
Dude, are you serious?
I mean, maybe parts of Southie. I think everyone's faking it at this point.
All right. Whatever.
Just Worcester. Anyways, have a good one. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Left is best.
All right. Whatever. What accent do people in Worcester have? Jay Tingle, I think you mean pretext, not predicate. Whatever.
I don't know. I think both kind of work.
I think both works. Folks, that's the end of our call-in portion. Granularf. John Stewart lifted an old Crimmins joke during a recent live appearance with The Daily Show. He said that he's not worried about anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism will be just fine. And it's clear in his delivery that he knows it's not his own and feels reverent. Thought you might appreciate. I mean, I would imagine there are writers there who, I mean, I know, I'm sure there are writers there who are friends with Barry. I'm sure Barry would appreciate those jokes living on past him.
Actually, you probably can't use predicate.
Really?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a...
You just the other day you were saying you can use whatever word it is.
I know, but sometimes it's not even close.
Is it really not even close?
Not super close. I mean, maybe there's another outside grammar usage, but no.
Really?
A subject, something that is affirmed or denied of a subject in a proposition in logic. A term designating a property or relation.
What about found or based something on?
Usually
found or based something on.
The theory is predicated.
The second...
Oh, yeah, there you go. This is a little bit late. This is, okay, yeah, sure.
Yes,
the theory
thank
is
you.
Predicated on recent findings.
Thank you. Thank you. And screw yourself, Jay Tingle.
Not surprising that came from Jay Tingle.
A lot of the language I use is antiquated because I use it from my youth. Teacher Dan, what was that bit you used to do years ago when you and some other guy sat around doing a calling talk show, like a couple guys from Southie?
Ken, and Ken,
Michael and I. And they come back. PB&J calling from 818 about Iran. All right, sorry. Tomov Link. Happy Casual Friday, folks. The 2025 British and Irish Lions Tour starts tonight with a game against Argentina men's national team in Dublin, Ireland, before going to Australia for a few weeks, which will include three games against the Australian men's national team. You have no idea how much I've been looking forward to this. You can probably guess what sport I'm referring to. I remember Emma correctly predicting South Africa to win the 2023 Men's Rugby World Cup. Has Emma thought of starting a sports show on the side?
Is that a joke? Did she actually make a rugby prediction?
It's very possible. Mega MCA, Trump has never in his life spoken like that. If I were a high school English teacher, I'd make him write an essay about plagiarism. Jay Tingle, I think you mean pretext, not predicate. I think I meant predicate. Jay Tingle, I think you meant to say, apologies, Sam. You were right. Jerry's Cahill. I don't know what that means, but I have a feeling it's not great. In retro, weapons of mass destruction, and in and of itself, the phrase was a tell. It made us believe the lack of specificity meant all weapons, but that includes what it actually was. We don't effing know. Same thing today. Also, I mean... I can't remember what was the big gas that they were talking about at the time. Maybe it was anthrax. I can't remember what it was, but it was like one of those things where you'd need those like 55 sarin. Yeah. I think it was sarin gas, like 55 gallon barrels. And you'd need like a dozen of them to kill 100 guys on a battlefield or something to that effect. Like it was very effective if it was in a, you know, in a subway system or something. If you're in an enclosed environment, maybe. But, you know, what did it mean to weapons of mass destruction? So general as to mean nothing. A dirty bomb. How many people, like, you know, like, how are you transporting this? So you can send a 60% enriched uranium through FedEx. That can be blown up. I mean, like...
Be scared.
You know what they could do? They could maybe like convince, you know, send a mole into the Trump administration. And if there is a pandemic, convince the administration to pretend like it doesn't exist. Right. And this seems far fetched, but even after coming out with like a vaccine for it, have a whole movement dedicated towards not taking the vaccine. And I bet you could probably kill like 1.5 million people that way. And then also create downstream long term impact to health and undermine. I bet you could do that.
Also, I would suggest if we don't want to be targeted by Iran for like terrorist attacks or whatever, or any country, don't help a country bomb them would be the first thing I would do.
Blame the victim. Blame the victim, Matt. Henry, tell David to keep his wife away from the Delta 8. It does occur naturally, but not at levels sold to consumers. Yeah, that's what it sounds like. Before the cause, I'm putting on my tinfoil hat and waiting for Vance to work his Pope magic on that President Trump so the PayPal mafia can get can start getting what they paid for. All right, five more of these. And Buenora, remember that a lot of the Democrats supporting Bush and Cheney drive to war in Iraq said if they supported it, it would help oversight and make the war run more properly. And of course, it did no such thing, not that they believed any of those things that they were saying. I think that Russ Feingold on this show, I don't remember when it was, years and years ago, saying that he sat in a room, heard all the arguments as to why we, you know, this was bullshit about Iraq. And then the senators went out on the floor and voted to give Trump, Bush rather, authorization.
Profiles and courage.
Future reactionary. Blue Georgia missed an opportunity in that clip extravaganza to include 2 weeks scene from Verhoeven's Total Recall. Don't tell anyone, but I'm watching on Rumble these days since that site doesn't seem to be aware of my browser's ad blocker. Kentucky boy. Botox must be insanely you healthy. Look at how many times Christy Noem has been hospitalized recently. Oh, unhealthy.
Shout out to all the 10 people on Rumble.
All right. Andrew from D.C. I have a minor discrete math. A predicate is used as a statement that can be proved true or false, depending on which variables are input into the predicate. Sam is correct in the logician sense, too. Cedar supremacy.
Now, the proof will be in the pudding, and I'm sure I will understand everything that's happening.
And the final I am of the week. Sage Sunday. The second Emma leaves the show, it gets so effing granular about grammar. Matt, Brian, Emma in absentia. Great week, folks. We'll see you on Monday.
It might take all the strength I got to get to where I want, but I know somehow I'm gonna get there. I wasn't looking when I just got caught between the truth and the light bulb, but finding out won't make me feel any better. Yeah, I know. And my pilot light shining bright. I guess I'm where the choice is made for the option where you don't get paid, for the road that bends before it finally breaks you. I guess somehow I lost my drive between the 101 and the 5. Do you know takes you? Yeah, I know the clock is ticking, but the meds are gonna kick in, and my pilot light.
So there's a wide array of neocons, essentially, and just bloodthirsty people who are, which is not to say that Hegseth isn't. It just means that Hegseth is that dumb and that useless. But here is Hegseth, and this is a thing, like, look, over the many, many years that I have been following this stuff, and particularly in the run-up to the Iraq War and in the wake of 9/11, Democrats always, generally genuflect to Republicans on national security. That has changed in part because we have a crop of Democratic lawmakers who come, who are vets, came out of Iraq, Afghanistan, and run for office. And yet, there is definitely a feeling that, and certainly in terms of like progressives, there is just not much energy spent. And I'm guilty of this too, or I don't know if guilty is the right word, but on things like military policy beyond our desire to have a significantly reduced defense budget. In the same way that Republicans don't really care, spend too much time thinking about education other than we want to get rid of it. They don't, you know, you're not hearing, big education policies coming out of the Republican Party since essentially No Child Left Behind, which was just a, you know, largely implemented as a way of putting corporate metrics on teaching, and it's since been completely rejected. But it's important to, and so there's a vacuum of Democrats and progressives who are making the argument of like, you're about to take us to war with, well, Pete Hegseth tells us right now, we don't know how many new leaders of our military. We have a guy who was literally 6 months ago barely able to do weekend Fox and Friends and show up sober to do his hits on Fox News. And now you're about to get us into a potential quagmire. Here is Pete Hegseth, who can't even explain why he fired or Trump fired. We don't even know how many generals. Go ahead.
A success of the Houthi operation. About how much money did it cost? How much money did you spend on missiles shooting at the Houthis?
Well, you'd have to compare that with what it cost.
I'm just asking how much did it
cost? Divert our shipping lanes around.
I'm told it's several hundred million dollars, maybe close to $1 billion. How
pause
many
it
US
for one
flag
second.
Commercial?
Can one of you guys Google what percentage of U.S. ships went through those shipping lanes that the Houthis were firing on? Something like, I think it's like 4% of U.S. ships traveled through those straits. Some infinitesimally small amount of our trade goes through there, but nevertheless, continue.
I'm told it's several hundred million dollars, maybe close to $1 billion. How many U.S. flagged commercial ships have transited the Red Sea since your so-called successful operation?
Well, thankfully, unlike the previous administration,
the answer is zero.
Military vessels transit.
No. I didn't ask about military vessels. I
well, which
asked
would
about
be the precursor
vessels.
For
how many commercial vessels?
Transit,
it's been several thankfully. Weeks. How many commercial vessels, U.S. flagged, have transited?
Well, would
the Red
you,
Sea?
Mr. Congressman, put civilian ships?
The questions
the
are not to me,
military
Mr. Secretary.
So
they're to you.
We have responsibly put military.
The answer is zero.
First.
I reclaim my time. How many generals and admirals have you fired?
I don't know the exact number. But
you don't know the number. It's eight. Can you?
You can't count that high.
Well, you know, what secret Dakota ring? And listen, I'm not a huge fan of Seth Moulton. I want to make that clear. But these are important questions to be asked. What secret like inside information that Seth Moulton has that Pete Hegseth doesn't in terms of who Pete Hegseth fired?
Look, when you're going up against Pete Hegseth, it's not fair when you can count to eight.
Go ahead.
Explain why any of them were fired? Like, just explain why was...
They all serve at the pleasure of the president, and I think...
No, I'm just asking you why.
General Kane is a great example
I'm just asking you why.
That we need
you probably learned at Princeton what why means. Why did you fire him?
They serve at the pleasure of the president, and we
why
want better representation in
him?
Each and every of those...
You can't explain why you fired
places.
Any of them?
Gentlemen's time's expired. And I
there you go. So he didn't know how many admirals and generals he fired. And he doesn't know why he fired them.
Representation.
Now, look, it's quite possible that there's always, like, you can fire eight of the top admirals and generals, and there's someone right below them that's like, I got this. No problem. Maybe you don't need, you know, that much experience in these things. I don't know. It seems like you'd make a bigger deal of it.
I'm clicking on some of the pictures of the fire generals, and the first one was a black guy. So I'm...
What? Oh, no. It's all, it is all 100% black people or women or brown people.
Oh, yeah. Lisa Franchetti. So black guy and a woman. So I think we might know the answer of why.
They're all woke.
Because representation.
They're woke. We know it. It's because they're woke. With all that wokeism out of the military now, it should be no problem.
CQ Brown? And he's a black guy?
What? Who did this?
We need better representation here.
So basically it comes down to, you know, Donald Trump is going to make this determination with his anti-woke crew. Here is Katie Britt. Have they let her out? Is she in, doing this interview with Jake Tapper from her kitchen? Oh, they didn't. They didn't make her stay in the kitchen for this. Is this the first time she's been out since the? Like, this is the first time I've seen her actually do national television since her attempt to
the
do
response.
A. Yep. Here she is explaining why she has no problems with any of this.
Not sure how well you could hear that, but he basically said, I don't care what Tulsi Gabbard said. I think the Iranians
are
very close.
We should just say, it's not just Tulsi Gabbard. She's repeating what all, I think it's 18 intelligence agencies said, to the extent that they had awareness of it or they've done any work on this, that the Iranians have not had a program to develop a nuclear weapon since 2003. I repeat, not since 2023, but since 2003. And Trump, when asked about this, says, I don't care what she says.
She's the one that the entire party voted to make the director of national intelligence, but who cares?
I'm sorry. Is her name Tulsi Gabbard? Or is it Miriam Adelson?
Not sure how well you could hear that, but he basically said, I don't care what Tulsi Gabbard said. I think the Iranians are very close to having a nuclear weapons program. So which is it?
Look, I trust President Trump. He is our commander in chief. He is the one that will make this decision. He both created and leads the America First policy, the America First movement. He understands about keeping us safe both here and abroad. I trust his instincts and certainly stand with the president.
So you think the intelligence community assessment that Tulsi Gabbard shared, Director of National Intelligence Gabbard shared, was inaccurate?
Well, Jake,
how do you reconcile
it? What I think is, under no circumstances should Iran be enriching uranium. I mean, we know that they are an untrustworthy adversary, if I may. And so making sure that they cannot continue to do that, that we have complete dismantlement of that program, has to be the goal. We cannot walk away from this and leave them with the ability to achieve and get a nuclear weapon. That's not only bad for Israel. It is bad for America, and it is bad for the globe.
And the response to that is they're not doing anything of what you just said they're doing. She did good, though. She did good.
That's what we like to see.
I think somebody's going to get some extra time outside the kitchen.
Thank you for trusting me.
She's going to be able to get outside the kitchen. America First. First.
I did create it. I am the creator of America First.
And she's the senator from Stepford. Is that correct?
A whole senator talking like that. And the Iraq.
I trust Trump. Meanwhile, the big story, of course, on the right is that Tucker Carlson questioned Ted Cruz on a bunch of different things. Did you guys play more of that interview yesterday?
Yeah.
Feels like Ted Cruz doesn't read the Bible carefully.
He both determines the policy of our entire nation of 300 million people based on it and also can't really cite it. So it's cool.
It's a vibes. It's a Bible more than a
Bible.
Yeah, exactly.
It's in there. Support Netanyahu. Listen,
come on. We know the gist of it.
I'm trying to be on the right side of God over here. I'm not actually trying to read the thing.
We know the gist of it. God said attack Iran, and so we do. I don't need to know how many people. Is it
Revelations where they say Iran can't get a nuke, I think?
5 million, 90 million. Here's Donald Trump responding to the argument between Tucker Carlson and Ted Cruz. And, of course, Trump is claims that... Well, he heard. Is that what it is? He heard from Tucker Carlson, and I got my apology.
Have you seen the Tucker Carlson and Senator Ted Cruz interview? It seems like this issue on whether or not the United States should strike is kind of dividing a lot of your supporters.
No, my supporters are for me. My supporters are America First and Make America Great Again. My supporters don't want to see Iran have a nuclear weapon. Tucker's a nice guy. He called and apologized the other day because he thought he said things that were a little bit too strong, and I appreciated that. And Ted Cruz is a nice guy. I mean, he's been with me for a long time. I'd say once the race was over, he's been with me.
He's been with me since I attacked his wife for not being as hot as mine.
Okay. Yes, no, he calls me on a regular basis and just reminds me on how much of a dog his wife is. He just calls up and says, President Trump, I just want you to know, my wife, still unattractive.
Mr. President, your wife is about 2 points higher than mine.
Oh,
let's work together for Israel, please.
Sometimes he just says, like, 5 points.
He's like, don't go overboard.
He says Melania's 11 and his wife is like a 4.
I'm like, okay.
And I appreciated that. And Ted Cruz is a nice guy. I mean, he's been with me for a long time. I'd say once the race was over, he's been with me ever since, right? But very simple. If they think that it's okay for Iran to have a nuclear weapon, then they should oppose me. But nobody thinks it's okay.
That to me sounds like a guy who thinks he's going to war. Mm-hmm. But keep him up there for a moment, because there was a report recently that Botox is not healthy for you. Something's going on. Donald Trump looks markedly different than he did literally like 2 weeks ago.
Do you remember Rip Taylor?
Rip Taylor? The
glitter throwing old.
That's what he looks like. Oh, yeah. Oh, that guy?
Yeah. He was on Jackass.
Yes. There's something going on with him. And he also just seems incredibly tired. And I would imagine, like, I guess I'm going to have to work more if we're going to get to do a whole war thing.
He's going to look so decrepit by the end of this term.
Oh,
like,
my God.
It's just a repeat of Biden. Like, he's, and you compare him to 2016, he had so much energy. And he is an old man now.
Yeah. 2026. I think in the run-up to 2026, I think in a year from now, maybe if I just keep trying to play more golf, it'll turn the clock back a little bit. The golf thing is like very reminiscent of Biden's bicycling. Last vestige.
Oh, yeah, and he started falling over on the bike. It's like, oh.
It's going to be fascinating when Trump falls out of a golf cart. That's going to be like...
he's already doing the stumble up the stairs to the plane.
Is there more to this? No, I already did it. We're good. No, we're good. I already plugged that thing in and out. Ooh, medium literacy says that Ted Cruz impersonation is good, Matt. Teacher Dan, Trump's face might be assisted with some of that invisible tape strip stuff that they stick up eyebrows and pull back cheek skins with. Folks, the number 646-257-3920, 646-257-3920. Let's play number six. I just found this so sort of shocking. You'll recall, I can't remember which hospital it was. The Al-Shifa Hospital, was that the first one that they attacked? And I can't remember when this was. A year ago? More? When Israel first hit the first hospital that they bombed in Gaza, there was so much attempt by the Israelis and its apologists in this country to argue that there was a underground bunker. There were animated videos that were coming out. There were, you know, testimonies. Now, the fact is, the bunkers were definitely there because they were built by the Israelis when they last occupied Gaza underneath that hospital. There's no doubt. There's tunnels throughout Gaza. They sent people down there. These underground bunkers were not nearly as impressive, these huge command centers that they said. But there was, and then there was talk like, well, we didn't actually bomb a hospital. It was actually Hamas that accidentally bombed the hospital. And then at one point, it just became so obvious that Israel was on a genocidal campaign to ethnically cleanse Gaza. After they blew up all the universities, they started blowing up churches and mosques. And they just started to willy-nilly shell hospitals. That the idea of even them putting out some type of like alibi became like, it wasn't even worth it for them because no one believed it. They didn't believe it. They knew people didn't believe it. They just had, and it was quite clear, no one was going to stop them from bombing hospitals or bombing anything, for that matter, in Gaza. They never even did the lip service to it anymore. And so, I imagine there are some people who respond to this and think it's outrageous. But I am just sort of shocked at the audacity that this is going to create sympathy. Or that there's like, play this.
And move. Right next to it is a children's ward, a baby's ward, infants. They target it. They can
pause it for
give
a second.
This nonsense.
This is a Netanyahu complaining that the Iranians, after they were bombed, and we listen, just because you kill scientists, incidentally, scientists are civilian, but just even if you kill scientists, it doesn't say you don't get away with like, we don't really pay attention to the other 25 people who we killed who lived in that building and his family. This hospital is near a military base. The military base was also hit. But here is Netanyahu trying to drum up outrage about a strike on a hospital.
Babies ward, infants, they target it. They can give this nonsense that they're targeting military sites. What military sites? I know all the military sites in Israel. There isn't a military site here for miles and miles around. They're targeting civilians because they're a criminal regime. They're the arch terrorists of the world. They want to have nuclear terrorism, which will put the entire world under nuclear blackmail, and they would use these weapons. That's what the Ayatollah Khamenei says that he would do. He would use these weapons to wipe Israel off the map. Well, he's not going to. We're not going to let him. And we're in the process of achieving a tremendous victory. And our victory is aimed at those two goals. People ask me, are we targeting the downfall of the regime? That may be a result, but it's up to the Iranian people to rise for their freedom. Freedom is never cheap. It's never free.
Freedom requires these subjugated people to rise up, and it's up to them.
Posse, it's like, it's almost like a parody. Freedom requires oppressed people to rise up. Like, you could take everything he's saying and it could be instructions to Palestinians living in the West Bank and Gaza. The talk of bombing hospitals and completely out of control that regime must be. And the idea that they're threatening nuclear weapons. I mean, they're talking about using tactical nukes on Iran. Like, all of this, it's literally like, it's just mind blowing. I mean, you know, hypocrisy, things like this. It's just, it's almost as if it's written by a playwright or a screenwriter. I'm going to have the Netanyahu character say these things. And it's going to be my way of, like, these are things that could be said by other people about it. It's that almost literary and absurd. Go ahead.
Create conditions that will help them do it. Our goal is twofold. Nuclear, ballistic missile. We're going to remove that. We are in the process of completing the removing this threat.
We don't need the part that is, we just needed the part that was for American consumption.
Where he repeats all the bromides that sort of game our system and get, you know, bipartisan support in Congress.
Exactly. I mean, it's just shocking. UNICEF is reporting right now that there is a, they call it a man-made drought. I mean, we know who's creating that drought. It's not like the Gazans, the Palestinians in Gaza are, they're using too much water for their crops right now. Only 40% of drinking water production facilities in Gaza are operational, according to UNICEF. There's a 50% rise in malnutrition cases among children age 6 months to 5 years. Yesterday, at least 25 people were killed by Israeli fire while seeking aid. That's according to local health authorities. I mean, it's just insane. Absolutely insane. to hear him talk that way, it's just, it's crazy. I just can't imagine that there's anybody out there who is responding to this stuff, but there is. Ooh, Adrian Adams just released a presser saying don't rank Cuomo and rank the WFP slate. A little late.
Fascinating. Did you see what was going on last night with that?
Well, they were supposed to come out with that.
They had it prepared and there was dissension in her camp and it didn't come out, but now it's out, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know what's behind
that. She also had tweeted that we don't just abolish any agency we don't agree with. We need to reform ICE. And then deleted that tweet saying that's not what our campaign wanted to say. So it seems like there's a little bit of a split personality.
There's something going on there. There's something going on there.
But thank you for the endorsement.
Calling from a 917 area code. Who's this? Where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Simon. I'm calling from Saugerties, New York. How you doing?
Simon from Saugerties. What's on your mind, Simon?
So there's this thing that's been bothering me actually for a couple of years now. That's like a strategic, maybe oversight. And it's bothering me recently in regards to this like Rockland County thing about the lawsuit about the election and there was this, all this stuff about the seven swing states all going for Kamala and none of them being at a point where it would trigger a recount. I saw my internet sweeps the other day, like a small article talking about how the election actually could have been rigged via these ProVNV, which is like one of two federally accredited testing labs, which approved sweeping last minute updates to the ES&S voting machines in the months leading up to the 2024 election without independent testing, public disclosure, or full certification review. They did this by making a bunch of changes that were apparently classified as trivial changes, so they didn't have to be reviewed. And these were, I think these were to like a component that hooks up to virtually all of the vote counting machines in every county in the U.S. So long story short, I could try to read this to you or whatever, but I don't want to waste too much time here. That company was bought by a partner company to Palantir. So
yeah.
And you can pretty much trace it right back to Musk's companies. And they were, you know, Musk and Trump were both like saying things that like kind of were soft bragging that could easily be looked at rigging the election. And I understand that there's reticence to go down that road and look like, you know, these like batshit
election deniers. Yeah.
Election deniers who, you know, they did actually try to have a false slate of a false electoral slate.
Yeah.
It's not like,
yeah.
And the reason I'm like kind of rounding on this is I just think that like between that and the lack of like even real Democratic primaries in years, which we don't want to like look too hard at for the same reason, like I think that that's a big mistake because at the end of the day, if our votes aren't like actually being counted properly or there's some problem with the electoral mechanism, then like, first of all, we're looking at the other citizens in the country. Like there are a bunch of like racist assholes and maybe we're the overwhelming majority and that's like illusory the point being, it would be a completely different strategy that we would have to undertake. And if that's the case, then it would be if like we really just need to like turn public opinion through like normal, you know, like electoral stumping and stuff.
Yeah.
Like
okay.
And
right, so let me just summarize what you're saying is that you think that tactically speaking, we should be talking more about the stuff in Rockland County. I mean, I'll tell you, this is the thing is that I've been through this cycle. And it was, in Ohio in 2004. And John Kerry even said he thought that, you know, supposedly he had said that he thought that there were irregularities or that there was something that fishy that went on there in 2004. I mean, I wonder why, if you have the ability to change the vote tally in Rockland County, and theoretically nationally, why you didn't do this in Wisconsin, if you're Elon Musk? I mean, you put all your chips on the table in Wisconsin. Now, this is not dispositive of anything, and I'm not, I will be the first to say that I have not spent really any significant time in what's going on in Rockland County. At a 20,000 foot view, this is what I'm looking at. And I will also say, just like in terms of like how I want to spend my time, you know, like there are, we got stuff on the front burner right now. And I understand if we don't have free elections, then none of this ever matters. But my experience is that stuff will end up, could potentially just suck a lot of energy and resources and time that we need to deploy right now to stop a war, stop, a complete undermining of our healthcare system, stop the destruction of the administrative state. I am sympathetic to the argument that if we don't have a real vote, then, you know, all of that is for naught. But
right.
I need to see more evidence before I engage in that. You know what I mean?
I agree. I just think that absolutely. But like, I think we have to kind of commit a little bit to at least looking for that evidence, because
there are people doing that.
If they proved it, though, like, not like, I don't think that it would even alter anything. Like, I think if they could actually come up with evidence, and mathematically the odds of there not being, of all seven swing states flipping, and there not being enough to like under the threshold of a recount, are infinitesimally small, and that's been like talked about since the election.
I know, like, but I mean, yeah. Also, like, you know, there was a 99% chance that Hillary Clinton was going to win in 2016. Trump did it without Elon Musk, but then he lost in 2020, equally small margin. Do you know what I mean? Like, I you know, the.
Yeah, I mean, I get it historically. I mean, in this case, I think between Elon bragging about it and the Palantir partnered company, like this whole angle that I'm seeing, like,
I'm happy. I just, let me put it this way. I'm happy.
We've been fucked, man.
Listen,
there's nothing we could really do.
I'm happy there are people who are expending their time and their resources to it before it becomes something, you know, that is worth me or this show expending its time and resources. There has to be more there, because there's other fires that are happening right now.
And I'll just say, for my part, the result needs to be more anomalous. And look, the statistically improbability is one thing. I'm not surprised Kamala lost. Like, I was freaking out about the way she ran that campaign the entire time, and maybe a more anomalous loss would surprise me more, but it didn't surprise me.
Appreciate the call.
Yeah, absolutely. I wanted to say one more thing. If you
got
to
be super quick.
I saw a clip of a bounty hunter testifying at like some town council or whatever, and he was saying, or not, he wasn't testifying, he was standing up to speak, and he was saying that they were being, him and other bounty hunters were being offered $1,000 per undocumented immigrant that they brought in. So that there's a strong possibility that all these like masked ICE dudes who aren't showing their badges.
Oh,
because they're not even police officers.
Appreciate the call.
And I'll let you go.
Yeah, no, I first of all, they're bounty hunters. The no ICE officials are police officers. They are bounty hunters. That's what they're doing. Many of them are paid by a government agency, but they are basically bounty hunters. And then it would not surprise me one iota if they were contracted. They're going to the IRS trying to get people. They're going to the FBI. They're trying to get people. At one point, they run out of people. The idea that they would be getting them from a Jay or whatever the, you know, they're calling black. What was the mercenary force? I can't
remember. Blackwater.
Blackwater or Jay or whatever. I can't remember.
I never learned the new one. Yeah.
No, there's like 14 different ones. It wouldn't surprise me whatsoever. This is encouraging, though. Apparently, well, we can watch the video at Dodger Stadium. ICE was turned back, denied permission to come into Dodger Stadium. And then they denied it that they were doing. I mean, this is fascinating. Here is the, what is this? Let's look at this clip.
This is Jeremy Lindenfeld. Protesters gathered at Gate E of Dodger Stadium where DHS agents. I mean, that's the thing is, like, ICE denied that they were there. I mean, who knows if it was ICE, DHS, CBP. None of these Gestapo agents identify themselves.
Yes.
Even to the Los Angeles Dodgers, which that means they're not telling you.
Good. And then, do we have the footage of them driving away? Do we have that footage? And then apparently, like, at one point, I don't know if the stadium got wind of it, the Dodgers, the cops end up escorting them away. Do we have it? I thought I had put it in there. Maybe I hadn't put that one in. I got confused. But there's footage. Check on Twitter. And they denied it. They denied that they were even there. And here it is. I think, here we go. Try that. This is an overhead shot, and you can see. You can't? Here we go. And this gives you a good overhead view of it here, of the protest. I don't know how ICE actually.
And new tonight.
Go ahead. This is a report from KHOU11.
And new tonight, Immigration Customs and Enforcement, or ICE, is denying it sent agents to Dodger Stadium in Los Angeles today. The team posting on social media, they denied the agents' request to access the parking lot. Word of immigration officials showing up drew a few protesters. ICE responding to the Dodgers post on X saying, quote, false, we were never there. The Department of Homeland Security said Border Patrol vehicles were in the parking lot briefly, but it had nothing to do with the team.
Oh, I guess we didn't see them being driven out, but they were followed out by the cops. And they're just hanging out, I guess, theoretically, just like tailgating.
And you got to park your car somewhere.
You got to park your car somewhere. Maybe you want to go out to a game, hang out, chill out. Yeah, here they go. This is them driving away.
This is no sound
on this. But you can see the LAPD escorted them out of the parking lot. And it's too bad. These guys were just out there. They had their barbecues. They were just going to have a couple of dogs and just getting into the feel of the game. LA Dodgers want no part of these guys
I think reports were originally from citizens saying, why are the Dodgers letting these guys stage in their parking lot? And the Dodgers had to be like, well, we told them to get out of there.
California resistance. Sam, there's a video on Blue Sky from LA that ICE was only using road outside the stadium to transfer people from ICE arrests at Home Depot in Hollywood. Never planned on going into the parking lot. The Dodgers are using it for self-promotion. We're supposed to issue a statement in support of the community. Team has not done it yet. Dodgers supported Trump. I mean, regardless.
Good. Do that. If the Dodgers want to attack ICE for publicity in this moment, do it as cynically as you want to, please. Thank you.
Exactly. Oh, this is breaking news. A judge, supposedly, see if you can confirm this for me. Just another guy says a judge orders Mahmoud Khalil to be released on bail. It's conditioned. Krusty Gnome, a couple of people. That's good news.
I mean, this was
Zateo breaking Mahmoud Khalil to be released from ICE detention, says Majid.
About time, Jesus.
Yep.
Since March 8th.
Insane.
Child born while he's in there.
Legally Brand. I'm a sexual assault law lawyer in the DMV area, and I've seen downward shift in how willing rape survivors are willing to report their rapes because they're so afraid of having to go to a police station or go to court with ICE raids going on. Rapists also threatening to call ICE on their victims if they report, regardless of victim status. As a result, these rapists are just roaming freely amongst us endangering us all. Also, undocumented victims are ineligible for U visas if they don't report the crime to police. Calling from a 313 area code. Who's this? Where are you calling from?
Hey, is this me?
Yes, it is you.
Hey, I'm Nicholas. I'm from Detroit.
Nicholas from Detroit. What's on your mind?
When you guys were talking about Pete Hegseth earlier, I couldn't help but think of the opening scene of Fahrenheit 9/11, where Paul Wolfowitz is like licking that comb and combing his hair over.
Yep.
And in, you know, in your opinion, are Pete Hegseth and Tulsi Gabbard, are they some sort of mutation of this desire by neocons to be presentable but also vicious at the same time? Or is it just a coincidence and Pete Hegseth is a hatchet man who is willing to do anything for Trump, hence his appointment, but at the same time, they still have, you know, the deep state of military leaders come in situations like Iran right now?
Well, I think Hegseth is there because he's a yes man. That's it. Bottom line. Hegseth is there is because he's a yes man. I imagine that Tulsi Gabbard is in there because
they were anti-war for the campaign.
She provided some electoral sort of like, as a former Democrat, as a former Bernie person, she was part of the way of, like, you know, Bannon's idea of like bringing in former Bernie people. And they just, you know, Trump was like, she seems good. She's like a TV 7, maybe. So we can put her in charge of something. I honestly think that's what's going on there. And then
compared to Nikki.
And look, I think I don't know that Trump is being influenced by, you know, a neocon establishment. They're certainly coming up now and providing sort of like undergirding or support. But I think this is really just a function of like Miriam Adelson and his calculation that these are my sort of benefactors. And I also suspect that there is a Saudi agenda of like, you know, if this happens, it's not such a bad thing. That I'm guessing, and I haven't seen much written about this, but like, where are the Saudis in this? The Donald Trump is going by, Donald Trump doesn't care. It's really just a question of like, who's paid him? How much allegiance? How, you know, what does he feel like he owes them? What's the good deal? And then also, like, how is this going to impact his ability to make other deals? Or, you know, there is a transaction, or there's a series of transactions with him and his people, Witkoff, you know, Kushner. The answer lies there. I don't know what it is, but that's where the answer lies.
And what do you think the over under is on the right eventually, you know, labeling Donald Trump as a stooge of Israel? Because it's we live in this world where it's okay for the right to hate Jews, but it's not okay for them to hate Israel. And us on the left are, you know, expressing our discontent for Israel and our protection of Jews, and we're the bad guys for some reason. Do you ever see a world where, you know, Donald Trump's allegiance, or if the media starts to, you know, out him as a stooge of Israel, if that could bring these people into the light?
No. No, it ain't happening.
The media's going to do that.
It ain't happening.
Yeah.
Appreciate the call.
Have a good one.
Buckets and buckets. Sam, why do you keep ignoring Iran's recently refining uranium to 60%? I literally mentioned this yesterday. A Wednesday when I was on.
Okay, but the last 2 days, why did you ignore it?
Well, I ignored it yesterday. I was talking about it, except for I wasn't on the air, and so you didn't hear it.
Convenient.
kind of seems purposefully deceitful. I literally said that they had literally walked through, yes, like Wednesday. They have refined uranium to 60%. They need 90% for just to have weapons-grade uranium, never mind a delivery system. It is absolutely foolish of them not to start to head down this road as these attacks show. Absolutely foolish of them.
Even like the women who are more, let's say, liberated are calling. I've seen men on the streets on interviews were like, yeah, okay, I support the regime now going after nuclear weapons
of where course. I didn't before. Of course. And after 4 years of Joe Biden refusing to make a deal, which I suspect was a function of his relationship or his people's relationship. I mean, you got McGurk on now on CNN. The guy, Brett McGurk, who, you know, in Joe Biden's mental haze, and I'm not in any way absolving Joe Biden of responsibility, but it's quite clear this was Brett McGurk's policy. And this guy's out there promoting an attack on Iran. And for years, we wondered why. Why didn't Biden make this deal quickly? And the whole, his response to October 7th and Israel's subsequent response made it quite clear that this was a policy agenda to not get back into this deal. So the idea that after 5 or 6 years, Iran starts to ramp up their enrichment program, of course they are. If they are not regretting not ramping it up to 90% and not actively having built a weapon, they're fools. They're fools. They're fools. I mean, that's just the bottom line. Calling from an 847 area code. Who's this? Where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Mike from Portland.
Mike from Portland. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I wanted to talk about ICE here and you know, the absolute war zone and burning down of the entire city.
Okay, tell us.
Yeah, so that was just a little bit of a joke because it's literally one block.
I see what you're saying.
But that, unfortunately, that block has a school on it with a playground, apartments, and they're gassing up the place every single night now. People are out there protesting peacefully, and then when they want to bring a couple vehicles in or out, they come out, shove people to the ground. Some people were sharing a story that it's just really hard because, like, people are being detained there, being searched wrongfully, being violated. So people are coming back out after being held. These are protesters being held in a detainment facility for a couple hours, shackled. The cells are dirty, you know, like boogers and feces and stuff like that, according to some folks. And, obviously it's inhumane. They're keeping, you know, immigrants in there as well, or, you know, whoever they snatch up. So, I just want to give a shout out to the people showing up there, every single day, cause, they've had an encampment going for about 2 weeks now. It's been occupied for 2 weeks straight. And, several people just, getting arrested and hundreds getting gassed every day. And the gas they're using too is illegal internationally. Portland banned the use of tear gas, but that's by the Portland Police Bureau, not, you know, by the feds. So the feds are using things called CS gas and atomsite. Mm-hmm. And these are gases that have cancer-causing agents, of course. Like I said, there's a school right there. When the wind picks up, you can feel it in your throat. It feels like a really tough allergy reaction, you know, maybe to like fresh cut grass or something. It's really brutal. So yeah, just kind of wanted to update. We're also trying to get the city to pull the permit for them to operate in that building. So we're putting a lot of pressure on city council right now through 5051, PDX, and a couple other organizations, Take Down Tesla, things like that. So
great.
Can I just say on those gases?
Several protests coming up.
A lot of those gases sort of linger lower to the ground. So if you say want to walk your pet around it, or you have small children, they're going to take it to the face.
Appreciate the call. Yep. Appreciate the work you guys are doing.
Yep. Stay safe, y'all.
Thanks.
Bye.
Friends, Brosef, I inhaled CS gas in Hungary during the labor protest there in 2018. Awful. Very overwhelming stuff. Ramona Frankenstein. Sam, why have you been ignoring the fact that Iran has been very mean to deal leader Trump? 92 million people who want to murder our big, beautiful, wet president. Your silence is deafening. I think I smell burnt toast. Tim Gould. If there is regime change in Iran, do you think Trump will install Patrick Bet-David as the new Shah? Buckets and buckets again. 60% can be used as a dirty bomb. What other use does it have?
Okay, sure.
It can be used as a dirty bomb.
Deterrent.
As a deterrent. Like, why do we have nuclear? Why does Israel have nuclear weapons? Why haven't they signed the nuclear proliferation treaty? I mean,
yeah, we should all sign that and get rid of nukes.
At the heart of this is some like assessment that the Iranian regime is completely irrational, which is exactly what we were told about Saddam Hussein. It is all just a predicate to invade. And let's be clear what a dirty bomb is. It's not a nuclear explosion. It is some other type of bomb that you use for explosive. I don't know, C8, or you could use dynamite, whatever. And it just creates a radioactive fallout. It's like a weapon of mass destruction. Chemical weapons, essentially. Or the idea that Iran would use a dirty bomb unless they were facing like some type of imminent existential threat is absurd. Because the moment that dirty bomb goes off, they are all dead. As you can see, Israel didn't even need a predicate to bomb them. The United States is on the verge of bombing them without a predicate. It's a hypothetical, potential, possible future threat that might allow us to drop a tactical nuke on them. The idea if Iran was responsible for a dirty bomb, it would be complete suicide. So I don't know what to tell you. Like, why did they get into the first nuke deal with Obama? They were adhering to it. Why did they do this? If they're completely irrational and suicidal, as you want to make it out. I mean,
it's the same thing that almost got the world destroyed during the Cuban Missile Crisis. Like, we encircle countries, and then the second they have any sort of capacity, we freak out and go into hysterics. And, you know, a huge part of our, military leaders and stuff want to preemptively nuke and bunker buster these countries.
All right, one more call. Final call of the week. calling from a 617 area code.
Hey, is this me?
Yes, it is you. You're calling
this
from Massachusetts.
Sam from Alston.
Sam from Alston. What is it? Bunratties? Is that still there? Bunratties? No.
I haven't heard of it.
Yeah, no. Why, are you under the age of 75?
Unfortunately.
Unfortunately?
I think they filled the Back Bay since you lived there. It's a pretty nice neighborhood now.
What is this thing I hear about? There's bridges over the river?
There's a few of them, yeah.
All right.
You can get to Cambridge on foot.
Wow, that's fascinating. Okay, all right, go ahead.
Yes.
You don't have to take a boat.
I want to talk about Worcester.
All right.
I do some work there, and I have access to the utility records. And I don't know if you saw that manhole that exploded a few weeks ago.
No.
A few months ago at this point. Yeah, it got sent like 50 feet in the air. I don't know if they officially concluded what caused it, but I looked at the pipes in that intersection, and in one direction, it was from 1912.
Wow.
In the other direction, it was from 1913.
Wow.
All iron. There's no corrosion protection for iron, so they get like dime-sized holes. And that just leak.
Oh, geez.
The oldest one I've seen in Worcester was from 1898.
Oh. I'm not surprised.
Yeah, they're cutting a lot of the replacement funding to focus on electrical infrastructure, but it's not enough to actually divert houses off of natural gas. So it's a bit of a problem, a bit of a safety problem. Especially all over the East Coast.
I bet. And Worcester is growing exponentially. I mean, they've added 60,000 people in, I want to say, 30 years.
Oh, yeah. Everyone that's getting priced out of Boston is moving there.
Yep. That's what they say in Worcester. They've been saying this for as long as I've been alive and probably more, that Boston can't grow to the East. But it really didn't start kicking in until, the early 2000s.
Yeah, that's the only place you can find the accent these days.
The accent?
Yeah, it's gone.
Dude, are you serious?
I mean, maybe parts of Southie. I think everyone's faking it at this point.
All right. Whatever.
Just Worcester. Anyways, have a good one. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Left is best.
All right. Whatever. What accent do people in Worcester have? Jay Tingle, I think you mean pretext, not predicate. Whatever.
I don't know. I think both kind of work.
I think both works. Folks, that's the end of our call-in portion. Granularf. John Stewart lifted an old Crimmins joke during a recent live appearance with The Daily Show. He said that he's not worried about anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism will be just fine. And it's clear in his delivery that he knows it's not his own and feels reverent. Thought you might appreciate. I mean, I would imagine there are writers there who, I mean, I know, I'm sure there are writers there who are friends with Barry. I'm sure Barry would appreciate those jokes living on past him.
Actually, you probably can't use predicate.
Really?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a...
Just stress. The other day you were saying you can use whatever word it is.
I know, but sometimes it's not even close.
Is it really not even close?
Not super close. I mean, maybe there's another outside grammar usage, but no.
Really?
A subject, something that is affirmed or denied of a subject in a proposition in logic. A term designating a property or relation.
What about found or based something on?
Usually
found or based something on.
The theory is predicated.
The second...
Oh, yeah, there you go. This is a little bit... Late. This is okay. Yeah, sure.
Yes.
The theory
thank
is
you.
Predicated on recent findings.
Thank you. Thank you, and screw yourself, Jay Tingle.
Not surprising that came from Jay Tingle.
A lot of the language I use is antiquated because I use it from my youth. Teacher Ben, Dan, what was that bit you used to do years ago when you and some other guy sat around doing a calling talk show, like a couple guys from Southie?
Ken and Ken,
Michael and I, and they come back. PB and J, calling from 818 about Iran. All right, sorry. Tomov Link. Happy Casual Friday, folks. The 2025 British and Irish Lions Tour starts tonight with a game against Argentina men's national team in Dublin, Ireland, before going to Australia for a few weeks, which will include three games against the Australian men's national team. You have no idea how much I've been looking forward to this. You can probably guess what sport I'm referring to. I remember Emma correctly predicting South Africa to win the 2023 Men's Rugby World Cup. Has Emma thought of starting a sports show on the side?
Is that a joke? Did she actually make a rugby prediction?
It's very possible. Mega MCA, Trump has never in his life spoken like that. If I were a high school English teacher, I'd make him write an essay about plagiarism. Jay Tingle, I think you mean pretext, not predicate. I think I meant predicate. Jay Tingle, I think you meant to say apologies, Sam. You were right. Jerry Cahill, I don't know what that means, but I have a feeling it's not great. In retro, weapons of mass destruction, and in and of itself, the phrase was a tell. It made us believe the lack of specificity meant all weapons, but that includes what it actually was. We don't effing know. Same thing today. Also, I mean, I can't remember what was the big gas that they were talking about at the time. Maybe it was anthrax. I can't remember what it was, but it was like one of those things where you'd need those like 55 sarin. Yeah, I think it was sarin gas, like 55 gallon barrels. And you'd need like a dozen of them to kill 100 guys on a battlefield or something to that effect. Like it was very effective if it was in a, in a subway system or something. If you're in an enclosed environment, maybe. But, you know, what did it mean to weapons of mass destruction? So general as to mean nothing. A dirty bomb. How many people, like, you know, like, how are you transporting this? So you can send a 60% enriched uranium through FedEx. That can be blown up. I mean, like...
Be scared.
You know what they could do? They could maybe like convince, you know, send a mole into the Trump administration. And if there is a pandemic, convince the administration to pretend like it doesn't exist. Right. And this seems far fetched, but even after coming out with like a vaccine for it, have a whole movement dedicated towards not taking the vaccine. And I bet you could probably kill like 1.5 million people that way. And then also create downstream long-term impact to health and undermine it. I bet you could do that.
Also, I'd suggest if we don't want to be targeted by Iran for like terrorist attacks or whatever, or any country, don't help a country bomb them would be the first thing I would do.
Blame the victim. Blame the victim, Matt. Henry, tell David to keep his wife away from the Delta 8. It does occur naturally, but not at levels sold to consumers. Yeah, that's what it sounds like. Before the cause, I'm putting on my tinfoil hat and waiting for Vance to work his Pope magic on that President Trump so the PayPal mafia can get can start getting what they paid for. All right, five more of these. And Bonora, remember that a lot of the Democrats supporting Bush and Cheney drive to war in Iraq said if they supported it, it would help oversight and make the war run more properly. And of course, it did no such thing. Not that they believed any of those things that they were saying. I think that Russ Feingold on this show, I don't remember when it was, years and years ago, saying that he sat in a room, heard all the arguments as to why we, you know, this was bullshit about Iraq. And then the senators went out on the floor and voted to give Trump, Bush rather, authorization.
Profiles and courage.
Future reactionary. Blue Georgia missed an opportunity in that clip extravaganza to include 2 weeks scene from Verhoeven's Total Recall. Don't tell anyone, but I'm watching on Rumble these days since that site doesn't seem to be aware of my browser's ad blocker. Kentucky boy. Botox must be insanely you healthy. Look at how many times Christy Noem has been hospitalized recently. Oh, unhealthy.
Shout out to all the 10 people on Rumble.
All right. Andrew from D.C. I have a minor discrete math. A predicate is used as a statement that can be proved true or false, depending on which variables are input into the predicate. Sam is correct in the logician sense, too. Cedar supremacy.
Now, the proof will be in the pudding, and I'm sure I will understand everything that's happening.
And the final I am of the week. Sage Sunday. The second Emma leaves the show, it gets so effing granular about grammar. Matt, Brian, Emma in absentia. Great week, folks. We'll see you on Monday.
It might take all the strength I got to get to where I want, but I know somehow I'm gonna get there. I wasn't looking when I just got caught between the truth and the light bulb. But finding out won't make me feel any better. Yeah, I know. And my pilot light shining bright. I get somewhere the choice is made. For the option where you don't get paid. For the road that bends before it finally breaks you. I get somewhere I lost my drive. Between the 101 and the 5. Do you know? Takes you. Yeah, I know the clock is ticking, but the meds